We're glad you're joining us today. Let's turn to the Word. Thank you, honey, for I'll have you come back and join me here in a little bit. As we're going to continue this morning a series we started a couple of weeks ago on Psalm 91. I love Psalm 91. And I find it just to be a really, really appropriate psalm for us to focus on in this season. I challenge some of you to memorize that psalm, or at least the first two verses of that psalm. By the way, I want to thank one of my dear friends out there, Gail, who sent me this beautiful card this week. It's got mountains and trees and just made me want to go on an epic hike. Can't wait for that. And inside it, she actually had some notes that she printed out from the first part of our Psalm 91 sermon called God is My Refuge. Thank you, Gail, for that. That was really precious. So let's turn to Psalm 91 in your iPhone, your Android, your real Bible, whatever it is. Let's turn there together. And we started with the first couple of verses a couple of weeks ago. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. It's interesting. Psalm 91 is kind of it's a special psalm, I would say, in the 150 psalms that are in what is traditionally called the Psalter. Some think that Moses was the author of this psalm. We know he authored Psalm 90. Some think that he also authored Psalm 91 as he was leading the children of Israel out in the wilderness. And one of the things that we're talking about here is, what are you saying in this season? What are you saying? Because the words of your mouth are really important. They really reflect your heart and where your heart is. And God says that he doesn't want our hearts to be consumed with fear. He wants his perfect love to come in and cast out all fear. And you'll notice in Psalm 91, it says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. Is that what you're saying in this season? That God is your refuge and your fortress? Or are you complaining? Or are you in a negative state of mind? The Lord wants you to focus on his word, his presence, and receive his peace. So we looked at the first two verses. I want to remind you of them, and then we're going to make our way pretty quickly, because it's a good bit of territory to cover, through the rest of the psalm this morning. But we broke down Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2 for you a couple of weeks ago, and we focused on the names of God. We need to run to the names of God. When you know his name, you know his character, you know his heart for you. It's so important. And look, in the first two verses, there's four powerful names of God that are revealed. He who dwells in the shelter of Most High, that's Elyon, the highest or most exalted one, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty, that's Shaddai, the Almighty, the mountainous one. I will say to the Lord, this was a precious and holy name, often translated as Yahweh, the unutterable name, the fearsome name of God, that literally means the eternal, ever-existing, covenant-keeping God, the I Am. I will say to the I Am, my refuge and my fortress, my God. Elohim, the first name of God used in the Bible in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, the Creator, in whom I will trust. So we started with those two verses a couple of weeks ago. Today we want to continue on to verse 3. This psalm is absolutely packed with wonderful promises, powerful verses that I think will speak to all of our hearts today as we focus on them. In verse 3 it says, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. Boy, is that timely. Amen? That is a timely promise to grab hold of. Amen, amen, amen. Let me just read it this way. He will rescue from COVID-19. He will rescue you from COVID-19. He will protect you from COVID-19. You can trust that. You can believe that. You can make that your own this morning. What's a trap? A trap is something that is looking to trap you. Something that someone has set up or laid that you might step into, fall into unknowingly. But here's the good news. God knows all, and God will protect you. He's watching out for you. Notice it says that he will protect you from deadly disease. Listen, folks, we don't need to be foolish. We need to do our part. We need to wash our hands. We need to keep our social distance. Maybe wear a mask when you go out to the grocery store. Don't be foolish. Do what you're supposed to do. But ultimately, trust God for your protection. Trust God for your protection. One person commented kind of jokingly that one of the really good things that's coming out of this, they said they were in a airport restroom recently, and there were several men lined up, all washing their hands, is that men are washing their hands these days. Hallelujah for that. You know what? Rejoice where you can. Anyway. Okay, Psalm 91, verse 4. We're continuing through. It says, he'll cover you with his feathers. He'll shelter you with his wings. And you know, there are some who take God's word so literally that they think that maybe God is like a bird or like an eagle or something like that. But this is really just an illustration of his protection and his care. In fact, Jesus used the same metaphor of a bird. And if you've ever seen a bird in its nest, I've had the privilege of seeing a beautiful bald eagle in its nest with its little ones. Boy, there, you talk about protection and care. You talk about holding them close. You talk about these beautiful, powerful wings that they're sheltered under. But Jesus used the same thing in Matthew 23, 37, talking about Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you. How often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. God literally hovers over you. You are never alone, folks. Not just that you're never alone, but you're never unprotected in his care. The next part of that verse, verse 4, says, his faithful promises are your armor and your protection. Now, we talk about the full armor of God. We put on the full armor of God. I believe in that. But did you know also that his faithful promises are a part of your armor? They're a part of what protects you and blesses you. Take up his word. The Word of God, the living Word of God. One thing that you absolutely ought to not miss in this season is time in God's Word. It's the one thing that'll transform you unlike anything else. I was on the phone yesterday with a dear brother. Thank you for that call, by the way. And he shared with me, this past week he read 100 chapters of Scripture. How many chapters are you reading? How much time are you spending daily in his word? Take up his word. It's your sword to fight. It is your sword to fight. Meditate on it. Quote it. Say it out loud. Speak it over your family. So important. Verse 5, Psalm 91, verse 5 says, do not be afraid of the terrors of the night. Now, some of you, when you were young, nighttime was the worst time. Because when the lights were turned out and you were laying in bed, you thought of all kinds of creepy things in the dark. And sometimes it is in the dark, it is in the night, that our minds get bombarded with all kinds of frightful thoughts. But God says you don't even need to be afraid at night. You can trust him when the lights are out. You can trust him as you lay your head down on your pillow to go to sleep at night. In fact, he says this about his servants, his saints. He wants to give you sweet sleep. For some of you, this is a time to catch up on your sleep. And you know what? Enjoy it. Because God's with you and he's refreshing and renewing you. Let's look at the rest of that verse. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night or the arrow that flies in the day. In other words, people of God, children of God, God's got you day or night. He's there with you. He wants to protect you. He wants to be your protector day and night. Look at verse 6. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at noonday. You know what? There's never a time. There's never a place. There's never a moment that he's not there with you. And even if all around you things don't look so good or so optimistic or they're scary or they're concerning, you don't have to be concerned because God is there. Look at what he says in verse 7. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Boy, that's personal. Stand on it. Trust it. Believe it. It's God's word for you. They will not touch you. Psalm 91 is oftentimes called the warrior's prayer, the warrior's psalm, because it's God who brings the victory. Anytime the children of Israel went out and tried to achieve a victory on their own without crying out to God, it didn't end well. But when they made God their first resort, their first line of prayer, when they prayed first before they pursued the enemy, God always gave them the victory. God wants you to seek Him first. This is a season of a divine reset. Maybe your life had gotten a little bit off focus. Now's the time to get it back in focus. Now's the time to recalibrate your faith and make sure you're seeking first the kingdom of God in this season. Look at verse 9 and 10. If you make the Lord, Yahweh, the eternal promise-keeping God, your refuge, if you make the Most High, Elyon, the one who is high over everything, your shelter, then no evil will conquer you, no plague or harm will come near your home. Man, there's one for you to commit to memory, one for you to meditate on. How powerful is that? No other person's our refuge, only God. Every other person will ultimately let you down. But God says, no plague's going to come near your home if you'll trust in me. What a promise. What a promise. Now look at verses 11 and 12, and an interesting thing enters into the equation here. They're called angels. Look at this. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You know what that means? So that you won't even stub your toe. These angels are going to be around you. Do you know God places angels around his people? We call them guardian angels, right? And by the way, they're not fat little babies sitting on a cloud playing a harp. In fact, in the Bible, every time someone's eyes were open and they saw an angel, the first thing the angel said to them is, don't be afraid. You know why? Because they're fearful beings. They're powerful, huge, bright, strong beings that are watching over you, assigned to you by God himself. The Bible says that angels are ministering spirits sent to help those who are inheriting salvation. If you could see an angel, let me tell you, you would be absolutely blown away. They're powerful. They're not fat little babies. They're powerful beings watching over you and I. Psalm 34:7 says this, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. What a promise. God sets up a circle of protection around us when we pray, when we seek him, when we put him first. In verse 13, it says this, you will trample upon lions and cobras. You'll crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. Now, does that literally mean that you're going to run to the zoo, jump into a lion cage, and trample upon a lion? No. Again, it's a metaphor of those things that would come after you, things that are bigger than you, things that are fearsome. They would try to come after you. The enemy would try to plot and plan to come after you. But instead of them overtaking you, you're going to overtake them. You're going to stand up against them. You're going to have victory over them. In fact, into the New Testament, Jesus says the very same thing. You're going to trample upon snakes and scorpions because God's given you authority. It's time to stand in your authority as a child of God, as a believer. It's interesting because there's a New Testament equivalent here I want to show you that's quite interesting. In Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, this is when Jesus goes into the wilderness. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals. Have you ever noticed that before in that passage? That there were wild animals around him and the angels were ministering to him. Now what happened here in this situation? Perhaps the enemy sent wild animals, somehow influenced wild animals to literally come after Jesus as one of the threats against him. But angels were there ministering to him. You know what? The enemy may send his best to try to discourage you and defeat you, but the angels of God are there, ready, encamped around about you to deliver you. So regardless of what comes at us, God's got us covered. God knows how to take care of us. Now, an interesting thing happens in the psalm right here in verse 14, and I want to point it out to you because it's really important. The psalm changes in verse 14. So verses 1 through 13, the psalmist has been speaking. If it's Moses who wrote this psalm, it's Moses, the prophet of God, who's been speaking the promises of God. But all of a sudden in verse 14, things take a dramatic shift, and it's the Lord speaking. Let me just tell you, things go to another level when it's the Lord himself speaking. So you know what? You can stand on all the promises we've already talked about. But now I want to give you 7 promises from God himself that you can stand upon. Number 1, God rescues those who love him. Look at it. Psalm 91 verse 14. The Lord says, there it is. The Lord says. This is God speaking to you. Some of you right now in your kitchen, in your living room, God's speaking to you. The Lord says to you, I will rescue those who love me. I will rescue those who love me. Man, is that powerful? God's with you, folks, and he has the power to help you. I just love it because now all of a sudden it just gets powerful and personal. God's right there. There's 2 times, by the way, in 3 verses where God says, I'll rescue you. Boy, you can count on that. And you know what that means? He will either pull you out of the circumstances or he will see you through them. Yes. He will see you through them. Either way, God knows how to rescue his kids. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to go through some fiery times. You might remember that story. They literally were thrown into the fiery furnace. And the king and his guards were looking, and they wait a minute, there's a 4th man in the fire. What's he doing in there? Who is that? And it was the Lord himself walking with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through the fire, bringing them out. And the Bible says they didn't even smell like smoke. That's amazing. That's God delivering you through it. He'll either pull you out of it or he will deliver you through it. When Jesus was asked what's the most important commandment, in Mark chapter 12, he says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I want to remind you this morning, maybe you haven't exactly entered into this, but you must, it says in that scripture, you must love the Lord with all your heart. That means not a part of it, but all of it. Wholeheartedly love and be devoted to God. Make him first in your life. With all your soul, that means your emotions and your will. With all your mind, that means every thought, you're centering it on God. He's the first thing on your mind in the morning and the last thing on your mind at night. And with all your strength means with all your energy and all your capacity that you have determined you're going to love God. Man, when you love the Lord, you can trust his promise that he will rescue you. And I know what you're thinking. I want to love God like that, Pastor Jeff. So do I. And sometimes I fumble. Sometimes I stumble. Sometimes he isn't first. And I have to put him back on that throne. I'm so glad he's patient and loving. He calls us to love him. And then he empowers us to be able to do so. Isn't that awesome? That's just how good God is. 2nd promise, he protects those who trust in his name. Look at this. This is awesome. In verse 14 also, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. I will protect you so you don't have to be afraid. God's hand of protection is literally over you. You do your part. Wash your hands, all that, but ultimately trust in God. That's what will make the difference. The 3rd promise, God answers those who pray. I love this, Psalm 91, verse 15. When they call on me, I will answer. That's a straight up promise of answered prayer from God. Some of you wonder, why are my prayers not answered? Let me just tell you, in a time like this, if you will love him and you will trust him and you will call upon him. And this word call is the word korah in the Hebrew, and it means it's a strong call. It's like that word in the New Testament where it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. This isn't just some wimpy call out to God or a faithless thing. Charles Spurgeon said this: there is a prayer that does not pray. Sometimes we become lethargic. Sometimes we become half-hearted in our prayers where there's no faith even mixed in. That's not what this is. This is a fervent cry to God, knowing he's a father who cares for you and that he's going to answer you and he's going to be there for you. In fact, the way the Hebrew is constructed here, he's going to announce his answer. He's going to sing it over you. And number four, the fourth promise, God's with us in trouble. I will be with them in trouble. As I said a minute ago, he doesn't always lift us out of the trouble, but he sure knows how to see us through it. He sure knows how to walk with us in it, if you will let him. These are going to be life-defining days for many of you. These will be days you will look back and say, my faith was strengthened during that time of quarantine. My life was changed. I drew closer to God. I made a commitment to serve him. And I put him first. And these will be days that will define your life from this day forward. God honors, number five, God honors those who love, trust, and pray to him. Boy, I love this promise. I will rescue and honor them. The word honor in Scripture denotes weightiness. Weightiness. There's a gravity, a gravitas, a weight to this word honor. And by the way, just a little bit of humor, doesn't mean weight gain. So don't make extra trips to the fridge because Pastor Jeff said, you know, there was a weightiness to this promise. Don't do that. But it doesn't mean he's going to pack on 10 more pounds on you during the quarantine. No, no, no. It means he's going to add faith and wisdom to you. He's going to bless you in good ways, in ways that will make a difference in your life. You're going to grow through this in God. It's part of his redemptive plan for you in this season. Some of you even who are struggling financially, God's going to open doors of financial blessing and provision for you. He knows how to take care of you in all things. Don't worry, trust. Don't fret, pray. Don't let fear take hold of you. Walk in faith and watch God honor you through this season. The sixth promise is this: God rewards those who love him with long life. He says in Psalm 91, I will reward them with long life. Now there's some of you who are saying, but I know some believers who weren't that old and they passed on. And can I just tell you the long life here? The Jewish rabbis talk about God's word as being like a many-faceted diamond. There's many sides to it, and sometimes we don't see them all and we don't understand them all. But a long life can literally be a long life that is literally forever with him, an eternal life. And it can also mean a full life, a life that is fulfilled in its purpose. See, I believe this. God knows our days. We don't necessarily know them, but he does. We don't understand some of Earth's reality, some of the things that happen. But here's what I believe. When you get to heaven, you will realize just how sovereign and awesome and wonderful God is. And you will realize that there wasn't one thing out of sort in the timing of your journey to eternity, that you wouldn't have done anything different than what God did because he's perfect in all of his ways. And the seventh promise is this: God gives salvation to those who love him. Verse 16, I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Oh, I love that. God wants to be your eternal home. in times of uncertainty, I tend to think about eternity, maybe a little more than I normally do. I just want to ask you this morning, those of you who are watching, have you truly given your heart to Christ? Have you truly put your faith and your hope in Him? Have you truly made Him Lord of your life? And when I say that, I mean, have you been changed? Has there been a transformation? Are you a different person? You know, if you sincerely give your life to the Lord, there's a transformation. You're made into a new creation in Christ. Have you done that? If you haven't, now's a perfect time. I'd just like you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a moment. And if there's any of you who are watching who haven't committed your heart and your life to Christ, now's the time to do it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ that was sent to this earth to pay the price for my sins and for all of our sins. Lord, forgive me today where I failed you. Come into my heart and my life today. Make me new. Make me a new creation in Christ Jesus today. Teach me how to live for you from this day forward. I receive your salvation in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Well, we've been ending with a prayer of protection over you. And I'd like to do that again today. And I'd like to invite my wife to come and join me as we pray over you today. Thank you for tuning in and joining us today. It's been a blessing to have you. And I hope you've received something good from God's word today that's been an encouragement to you. So, honey, we love to pray this prayer because it's just packed full of God's word and God's promises.
That's right.
Why don't you start us out?
So, Father, your word says in 1 John 5:14 through 15, we have courage in God's presence because we are sure that he hears us if we ask him for anything that is according to his will. He hears us whenever we ask him. And since we know this is true, we know also that he gives us what we ask from him. So I'm going to pray directly from your word, the Bible, so that I know I am praying according to your will, and therefore you hear and answer my prayers.
And your word says in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So I refuse to be anxious or worried about anything.
Yes.
And I choose rather to pray about everything and to make all of my requests to you with thanksgiving. I'm thanking you in faith that you will keep these promises to me.
And your word says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I thank you, Lord, that I do not and will not have a spirit of fear, but I will have power and I'll have love and I'll have a sound mind.
Your word also says in Isaiah 41:10, do not be afraid.
Yes.
I am with you. I am your God. Let nothing terrify you. I will make you strong and help you. I will protect you and save you. So in the name of Jesus, I will not be afraid because you're with me. You are my God, so nothing will terrify me. You will make me strong and you will help me. And regardless of what happens, you will protect me and save me.
And your word says in Psalm 46:1 through 2, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Therefore, I thank you that you are my refuge and my strength. You are a very present help in trouble. Even if the whole world is removed, and even if every mountain is thrown into the ocean, I refuse to fear.
And your word says in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So I declare in the name of Jesus that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and that every tongue, every negative word that disagrees with your promises to me, and every word that rises against me to judge me, I condemn and cast down. Such words will not come to pass. This divine protection is part of my inheritance as a servant of the Lord, and my righteousness, my worthiness to have this protection comes from you, the final authority.
And your word also says in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So I thank you, Lord, that you have given me the authority to use the name of Jesus to trample on serpents and scorpions, every kind of evil spirit, and over all the power of the enemy. And because of that, nothing shall by any means hurt me.
And your word says in Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So I thank you, Lord, that Jesus was wounded to pay for my transgressions. He was bruised to pay for my iniquities. He endured severe punishment to pay for my peace. And because he paid for my healing by willingly being scourged, I declare that by his stripes I am healed.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Your word also says in Psalm 103:2-3, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases. So I choose to bless you from the depths of my soul. I will not forget all your benefits. You forgave and forgive all of my iniquities, and you heal all my diseases.
And Lord, we pray as we close today, Psalm 91. And now, Lord, I pray Psalm 91 because I'm an heir of the blessing of Abraham through Jesus Christ, and I personalize every promise in this chapter. According to Psalm 91, I declare, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. My God, in you I will trust. Surely you will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence, and you will cover me with your feathers, and under your wings I shall take refuge.
Your truth shall be my shield and my buckler.
Yes.
I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me.
Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked, because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place. No evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over me to keep me in all of my ways. In their hands they shall bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone. I shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. I shall trample underfoot, because I have set my love upon the Lord. Therefore he will deliver me. He will set me on high, because I have known his name. I shall call upon him and he will answer me. He will be with me in trouble. He will deliver me and honor me. And with long life, he shall satisfy me and show me his salvation.
Amen and amen.